going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Hoffman's show. We're on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube too at the Team 980. And we're starting the show in an unusual way today with a guest. We don't do this often, but one, the guest wrote one of my favorite things that I've written in read in a while. And two, he's our friend. And three, it's a short show, so we don't have time to wait anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls from the Washington Post, our friend Sam Fortier is with us, of course, the Commanders beat reporter. Sam, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me. And I got to say, man, the intro when I come on and you play the soundbite, which that might have been, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
It's been a minute.
I just want to let listeners know that I've gotten right with my mom. Like, we're talking more regularly. It was her birthday a couple weeks ago.
Shout out to mom.
So I'm talking to her. We're talking more. Not that we were not talking then. I just don't remember what that conversation was. And so I want people to know.
I think that's a very fair clarification to make off the top of the show. Sam is calling his mother at a proper rate. Excellent work out of you. Also excellent work out of you in the Post today. You wrote basically like the inside story on mock drafts is one way to describe this. You went into the history of mock drafting. You talked about kind of why people love them. First of all, why'd you want to do this? And where did you start reporting this story? Because it is a thoroughly reported story on the just phenomenon that is NFL mock drafting.
Man, I appreciate you asking that. It is basically like, I just, over the last like 5 years of being an NFL beat writer, we get to March, or, you know, I'm in Indianapolis or Mobile, and I leave and I just scroll through my timeline and it's just all mock drafts. It's like, oh, well, I have prospect X from Louisville going, you know, in the 7th round of the Commanders. And I'm like, it's impossible to know any of these things, especially before free agency, but like, it's impossible to know these things now. Like, NFL teams don't know who's going to be available in the 5th, 6th, 7th round, you know, much less in the late first or the second. And so I just was like, am I learning anything when I'm looking at the sea of mock drafts? And then I just like, I've always wanted to figure out, what do I want to say about this? And then this year I just started reading more. I went back in the archives. It was like, what is the earliest article about a mock draft that I could find? And that sent me down an extremely interesting and deep rabbit hole about like how this stuff came to be.
So what was the first article you found? Did you just go back in the Post archives, or just like Google search, what's the oldest thing I could find? Like what was the first article you read about someone doing a mock draft with the NFL draft?
So we have this tool called Nexus, which basically like allows me to go back and look at, like, it has like all, you know, print stories, you know, like old newspaper stories. If I Googled, you know, Craig Hoffman, you know, so, like super keywords, like if any articles, you know, from your childhood would come, they would come up. So I searched mock drafts, and I think the first one was like from 1981 or 82. And it was like some local newspaper was writing about this guy, Joel Buxbaum, who was writing for Pro Football Weekly. And he like would send like 2 books a year that were like, you know, hundreds and hundreds of pages. Like basically, you know, what Dane Brugler of The Athletic does with The Beast, or like just basically like he was putting the internet into these books about these prospects, because back then, like, you couldn't just Google like, I don't know,
anything?
Tyler Batty.
Anything, because Google wasn't around yet, Sam. It was 1982.
Yes. But it's just like, you know, like even like example, I was looking today because like we're doing a mock draft now, and I'm like, okay, who am I going to mock to the Commanders in the 7th round? And it's like, maybe this BYU edge rusher is going to be a guy. And so you're like reading about him, and I have like so many different articles and sources and Wikipedia that I can look at. And like basically Joel Buxbaum, this guy who was doing the original mock draft, was doing like, you know, a 600 player deep big board too. And so he was like putting them in these books, and him and Mel Kiper and this generation of like self-made quote unquote draft nicks, like they were doing it in, you know, mom's basement per se. And like, but they were just so big, and they were such cult heroes for football fans that it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And now there's a billion mock drafts.
There definitely are. I now have done 8 after the one that Logan and I did this morning. Sam Fortier is with us here on the Hoffman Show. Of course, Commanders beat reporter for the Washington Post, but also whenever Sam gets an idea and decides to write about some wacky idea that he wants to research, you should probably read it because it's going to wind up being good. So it starts to blow up. What's the breaking point with mock drafts? Like, when did it absolutely just explode into something resembling of what it is now?
Great question. I want to say like the internet, but I don't think that's true, because I asked Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst, pretty good mock drafter in his own right. Like, when did you start to see it blow up? Because he got into scouting, I think, in Baltimore in 2003, and he was like, dude, even back then, like, you had to wait for stuff to come out. Like, you know, people would drop them right before the draft, or they would do it in these special sections. So I think it's just like probably. I think it's tied to the NFL marketing the draft as a thing, right? In like 2010, 2011, they moved the draft to prime time. And like, it just, there's a lot of things that coalesce here, you know, like fantasy football and people wanting to be GMs and fan participation. And, you know, it's like, it's not that different from having not just a fantasy football league, but like a Survivor fantasy league, doing it for reality TV. And I just think that there's a lot of overlap here with just how culture has shifted. I'm like not smart enough to connect all the dots, but like I think that there's a lot at play here that leads to the rise of mock drafts. And I would have to say, like, the GMification of sports, you know, being more focused on individuals than teams sometimes, like Moneyball. I'm sure that all of the, you know, like just more information and film being out there. I would have to say, like, probably around 2010 was when it really picked up. And then I think it's just accelerated since then.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Sam Fortier, Washington Post, with us here on the Hoffman Show. So what good are these? And if they're not good, then why do we do them so much?
I think why they're good is on different levels. Like, are people good at picking which teams are going to draft which players? No. There's like a very, very, very small segment of the population. I wrote about one of them, a guy named Jason Boris, who like consistently can beat the algorithms and be like, okay, you know, and even then it's like a batting average. Like, they're getting 10 to 12 picks right per year, which is really good. There's other people like this guy, Benjamin Robinson, who's like a DC nonprofit data analyst. And he was like, hey, in 2018, he was watching the draft. He's like, hey, there's like an opportunity to do something to like really quantify, is this guy a steal? Is he a reach? And so he started aggregating like thousands of these mock drafts from experts, from fans, from insiders and media. And he established basically like he moneyballed it. And he was like, here's an expected draft range. So if you look at it, you know, the expected draft range for Cam Ward is like 1. And the expected draft range for Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter are like 2. And then he has like basically curves all the way back. So you can really plot like the ascent of the Mizzou tackle Armon Membo or the slide of Michigan corner Will Johnson. Like, you can track those things through like his data, which I think is really valuable. And it's a tool that no one else had created. So I think that there is better expectations about where guys can go now than there used to be. But also, Craig, it also comes down to mock draft speculation is fun.
Yes. Yes, it is. And by the way, if you have, say, 3 hours a day that you have to fill on the radio and 2 podcasts a week, one of which is with the biggest draft nerd you've ever met in your life, who used to be a football player and might be named Logan Paulson, they're great content. And I think that's where, you know, it all, truth be told, transparency to the audience, Sam and I are genuinely friends, and we're texting about this earlier. So I knew some of, obviously from reading the piece and texting with Sam a little bit, some of the answer to that question. But I think there's kind of 2 paths that are worth talking about here, Sam, which is there's people like me who look at this as an opportunity to do content and then learn from that content. Both I'm learning myself and hopefully the audience is learning. Like, hey, you can tell me that player X, as long as it's basically not Travis Hunter, Ashton Jeanty, Abdul Carter, Cam Ward, you could tell me basically any other player in this draft could go at, or of the first round guys, or like 5 to 45. And I'd be like, sure, I could come up with some mock draft that can make that happen, and it's entertaining and it's informative. But then there's also the thing that Adam Peters talked about yesterday, which is teams do them. And that's the, I think, the other part of this that's fascinating is teams do them, to prepare for the draft, so that when they get on the clock, they've seen different scenarios before. They've worked it. They don't have to do as much in real time reacting. They can do some role playing and imagination work beforehand to prepare for the draft. And I was really happy, actually, that Adam talked about that yesterday. And that's actually an idea we took to take command today of, I just threw 2 players at Logan and was like, these 2 players are on the board at 29. Who you taking? And it's a different kind of mock draft, but that's kind of what winds up happening with teams throughout the process. And the good ones have done that work to prepare, and the bad ones are making it up when they get on the board and they have 15 minutes and they're having arguments in the room.
The former Tennessee Titans GM, Rand Carthon, told me that when he was in San Francisco, and he and Adam Peters overlapped in San Francisco, that one day, like, they went to the office, and it was like, it sort of reminded me of like a school project, but he was like, everyone got assigned a different GM, and they had to pretend to be that different GM, and you had the whole day, you know, to study the team needs and to study the board, and hey, like, whose contract's up in 26 or 27, you know, like, you had to really like be that GM for the day. And then at the end of the day, they did like an internal mock draft. And My understanding is the Commanders don't do that. But it, to me, it's like that is a valuable tool. Like, I think some of the mock drafts where you like open up the timeline and it's like a random dude who just was like, hey, like these are the three prospects I've watched, or the thought leader in the industry that I saw had this guy going, so I'm going to do that too. Like, I don't think there's value there. But if you're really digging in and trying to like come up with the logic behind these moves, I think like that is valuable. And so I honestly think back to like, you know, high school geometry, which I was like not very good at, but like my teacher was like, hey, if you get this wrong, that's okay. You just have to show the thought process. And if the thought process checks out, then like you can get partial credit, or you can, you know, like there's a rationale there.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that if you have, like, you just don't want to be caught by surprise on draft night. These picks are too valuable. And if you have worked through the scenarios before and you know who your trade partners are, or you know who potentially is looking to move up, move down, you're not going to get that surprise phone call. You already, and if you do, you've thought through the scenarios because you've looked, you maybe had even more foresight than the GM themselves of their team to be like, that team might want to trade up if this guy falls. What would it take for us to move off that spot? And it allows you to make solid, unemotional decisions because all you're doing is executing the plan that you've already had. But in the meantime, I think there's also on our side of it, Sam, like, it is fun and it's relatively harmless. I mean, I guess, you know, if fan base gets really disappointed because you took a guy that the media hyped up or the media, you know, crapped on, that's probably going to suck. But if he goes out and is good for about 3 weeks in the regular season, I'd imagine it's no harm, no foul.
Yeah, I actually think mock drafts, I used to like really not like them because it's like, as a beat reporter, I want to report things that are accurate, that I like know. And so I can advance your understanding of the team. And mock drafts like always like, you know, kind of rub me the wrong way because it's like, how can I tell a fan like this is what I think they're going to do when I don't know that? And I think like I've learned, okay, like I'm going to try to justify this pick and be like, hey, this is, you know, as long as you have the disclaimer of like, I don't have inside information on this, this is what I'm thinking, this is the vision potentially, then that's, you know, that's the thing. I don't love the like grading drafts at the end of it because it's like, that's like another layer of speculation that's really hard to tell.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I do think that mock drafts are like a fun exercise where it's kind of just like, you can't just talk about, oh, you know, like I like this guy because of X, Y, and Z. Like it really like makes the rubber meet the road in a way that it like challenges you to say like, you can't like all of these guys the same amount, or you can't like, not everyone is going to be available at this thing. Like, what, you know, have the courage of your convictions, as people like to say. So I do think the exercises, as long as they're treated with an appropriate level of seriousness, I think they're pretty fun. I've really come full circle on that.
Yeah, for sure. I think I have too. And it's seriousness, but also humility. And I say this all the time when we do our mocks on this show on Take Command. It's like, we're going to make a pick at the end. If you want to be smarter, listen to the discussion before the pick. Like the printout afterwards of like what we did, that doesn't matter. The conversation of why we're considering this player, why we're not, why that guy's off our board, like that is where the knowledge actually is and will make you or give you a larger and a deeper understanding of the team. So with that said, Sam, who do you like for the Commanders 29?
I need the listeners to know that when Craig and I were talking about doing this segment, and Craig was like, yeah, at the end, we can just have you give your pick. And I was like, wow, okay. I sort of feel like it wipes out the first 15 minutes, but
no because we had the last 2 minutes
kidding.
Where we said
we've come talked about it. Exactly.
Yeah, we've come full circle, so now we're here. Let's have some fun, shall we?
All right. So our mock draft, which we're publishing tomorrow, I struggled with this. I'm gonna build it up so that the readers, you know, the listeners, I'll have to hang on here. I really think it's gonna come down to if they stay at the pick, which I think they might not do. I think they'd like to trade down, but to me, I think it's going to be hard to trade down or get a good deal to trade down because there are a lot of trade down candidates in front of you, especially Minnesota at number 24, which they only have 4 picks. It's a league low. I think if you're a team that wants to go up and get a quarterback, if you love Milrow or Dart or any of those guys, like I think you're going to be targeting them or other teams in front of them. So for the Commanders, I was like, okay, I think it's an edge rusher, a corner, or a receiver. I know, you know, a lot of the popular names. I almost went Ezeraku. I almost went Barron, the Texas corner. But instead, I landed on Ohio State receiver Emeka Ibuka. I think that he is a blue chip prospect. I think that he fits in well with the current skill group, and I think he's a really good investment for the long term. If you look at the receiver room right now, the eight guys, they only have one younger than 27, Luke McCaffrey at 24. And I just think, like, he's insurance if the Deebo Samuel thing doesn't work out. I think that, like, Ibuka does all the right things. He blocks. He has the right mentality. He's a quote-unquote commander tag. I think there's a chance he falls. And so I think that it could be a situation where he's high on their board. He's, like, you know, maybe clearly the best or the second best guy. I think there's a chance that that happens. I'm not saying it does, but that was why I went with him as the pick.
If they wind up taking Ibuka, I will be very excited because I think there's no way he's not a good football player. Covering him will be a delight. And he's going to wreck some defensive back's life this year as a blocker on a clip that I'm going to post on every social media platform I have and watch on loop endlessly because that's who he is. Like, you're absolutely right. He is a perfect commander. My only question with him does he lack the athletic upside to have the kind of juice that I think is the thing that's missing from their offense? And this is kind of my struggle with them in general is, do you take a big swing? We talked about this a lot at edge. Like, if Ezeraku and Shamar Stewart are on the board, I think Ezeraku could be a very solid pass rusher who gets you 8 to 10 sacks for a lot of years in the NFL. Shamar Stewart might not ever get 5 sacks based off his college production. He might also figure out how to tackle and get 15 sacks for a couple of seasons because he's that athletically explosive. They don't make athletes like that. And that's kind of, I think, one of my fundamental questions going into tomorrow, Sam, to wrap us up here, is what kind of risk tolerance does Adam Peters have with where they are? Is he going to take a big swing on a super talented player, or is he going, Emeka Egbuka is a double no matter what, and if we add a double, we're in really good shape? And I don't know what the answer to that is. I'm curious what thoughts you have on where they might be.
I don't either. That's one of the things that I'm looking at for. To me, if you stay at 29, which means you can't trade down, which means you're not going to add more picks in the top 100, which I think are clearly more valuable than, you know, trading down on day three for like a late round pick swap or a seventh next year or whatever. Like, if you have 5 picks, I think you want to, you know, AP has talked about, you know, a successful draft being coming out of it with 3 starters. If you have 5 picks, you want to get 3 starters. I think starting with a double is a great place to be. Like, yeah. You know, like Shamar, you know, yes, he is the upside swing, but are you likelier to do that in a year where you have 7 picks or 8 picks or 9 picks like they had last year? I just think with your resource allocation right now, you've traded to get some top line guys in Tunsil and Deebo. Like, to me, their situation right now leans conservative. If AP is like, look, we did that so we could take swings in the draft, then yeah, I I'm not mad at that. I think that's a totally defensible strategy. But to me, it just seems like he would lean conservative now.
That totally tracks. The one thing I will say about Ibuka, though, I was looking at him again this morning and looking at some of the numbers. 1.50 flat 10-yard split. That is serious quickness. So while he doesn't have the top end like burner speed to just run by someone downfield, he will separate, which I think plays on tape as well for him. I guess we'll find out tomorrow. I can't believe it's here. It's tomorrow, Sam. So we don't have to speculate much longer. Great work on the piece, my friend. Have fun tomorrow night with all the goobers in the draft room. And I'm sure we'll talk to you here in the next couple of weeks about whatever they wind up doing.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Always our pleasure. Sam Fortier with us here on The Hoffman Show. Commanders beat reporter for The Washington Post. He and Nikki Javala have that mock draft coming out tomorrow, and I cannot encourage you enough. If you just want a really fun read, to check out Sam's story in The Post today about the kind of history and legend of mock drafts and how they've evolved over the years. Just a really stupendously fun way to spend 10 minutes reading an article, unless you read faster, and then it's probably like 6 or 8. When we get back here on The Hoffman Show, I want to talk a little bit more about some of these guys because I do feel like there's a couple prospects that have been miscast. And when Logan and I went through an exercise this morning, we discussed a few of them in ways that I think are worth bringing up here on the radio show as well. So we continue to get prepared for the NFL draft next here on the Team 980.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.